If any man love the world, the love of the world, the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, to some people, this can be very confusing. The world, of course, is cosmos. It's the globe, the world in which we live, the earth in which we live. And you may have title to a little dwelling and a plot of land where you live, so you have a little bit of the world. And they say, well, you have the world. But we're not talking about earth. We're not talking about dirt. We're not talking about the material. We're talking about the spirit of the world.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. It is a joy, as always, to bring the message of the gospel day by day here by radio. Could you imagine that if you were in a local congregation and one of your members was martyred? That is, you got the news that someone took your brother or sister's life, not just because of some family dispute or some other argument, but simply because they're a Christian. And because of their love for Jesus and their testimony for Jesus, they end up having their blood spilt and their life taken out of the hatred of the world. Here in this church where we're reading here today of Pergamos, this percolating church, as we called it, where there's a lot of things going on. It's the place where Antipas was the Lord's faithful martyr. That means that he loved the Lord more than his own life. And right there in that location, he was slain among those people. Now, this was attributed to the powers of Satan. We are told here, Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Oh, what a tragedy that would appear to be. And yet it put this church on the map, and it made it to be a living, vibrant testimony for the Lord Jesus. Now, none of us pray to be martyred. None of us ask for our lives to be taken. But we do pray that God may make us faithful, no matter what the hardship or the difficulty, that we might stand up for Jesus and be living witnesses for him. So stay tuned as we go now to our pulpit ministry on this church at Pergamos, the percolating church, where there's things going on in the realm of darkness and men standing up for Jesus. May the Lord bless you through his word.
Let's go back now to Revelation 2 and verse 16, and you'll see the Lord's word, repent or else. That's it, repent or else. Sometimes in the Free Presbyterian Church, we get accused of raising standards, making rules and standards that are beyond the profession of salvation. And some claim that a denomination or a congregation has no right. The Bible tells me that what is necessary to keep the world out, the church must do. We don't always have book, chapter, and verse for the circumstance, the situation, the sin, or the temptation that the church is battling. But if we are not ready to do battle at that point of the fort that is under attack, then the whole institution, the whole church, is greatly threatened. Toleration is not the word. Separation is the word. And we are separatists. We are separate from false preachers, teachers, but we must also remember that we are separate from the world and all its lusts and temptations. If we are ashamed of the word separate, we're going to fall prey to the temptations and the lusts of this ungodly age. And we're going to face new categories of sins that our forefathers hardly even thought about. And we are therefore in a great battle for the truth. We must not tolerate antinomians. The Nicolaitans are usually referred to as antinomians. What does that mean? That means they are against law. And the technical antinomian is against applying the Ten Commandments to the rule of the New Testament Christian. And they give license for the New Testament Christian to be ruled by his own conscience, his own inner light, and the church has no right to set particular standards. The law is given by the Lord as the rule of life for the Christian. And once we move from that, once we lower that standard, we're going to be letting the marijuana smoking, hippie style professing Christian, and this is the cloudy ambiguity of it all. In this age, there are those who just reek of the world and they want to be in the church. And they want to have the worldliness with them in their dress, in their attitude, in their easygoing ways to the vices of this world around us that is going to destroy the very fellowship and the standard and the testimony of the church of the Lord Jesus. And so we are in this battle. We are to repent of worldliness in the church. There needs to be in the church, at every level, in every heart in the church, a repentant attitude to the world. Now, to do this, I need to work very hard at this. Number one, we need to define worldliness. And that's not easy. We need to preach against worldliness. We need to pray against worldliness. And we need to witness against worldliness. Now, coming to the defining of worldliness, how do we do it? Well, we start with the Bible. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2, verse 15, of the spirit of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the world, the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, to some people, this can be very confusing. The world, of course, is cosmos. It's the globe, the world in which we live, the earth in which we live. And you may have title to a little dwelling and a plot of land where you live, so you have a little bit of the world. And they say, well, you have the world. But we're not talking about earth. We're not talking about dirt. We're not talking about the material. We're talking about the spirit of the world. And that worldly spirit is the forces of, well, it's the seed of the serpent that rebels against God. It is everything where God is ruled out. And we have that in our education system. God is not wanted. We have that in the government. God and his truth is not wanted. We have men, and if we try to have fellowship with them, they say, well, I'll talk to you if you don't bring up anything about Jesus. That's the world. And that's the spirit of the world at work. And usually, and this is just a guide, if you can't pray for God's blessing upon something, that's the world. That's the world. If it is to the point where you just can't get on your knees and ask the Lord to bless it, it's not for the Christian. And so there is a line. There is a division. Things that you should do and the things that you should never do, because they smack of the world, or they may destroy your testimony for God. The other text is Titus 2:12, which talks about the gospel that is according to godliness. The true gospel of the New Testament breathes the spirit of holiness into the born-again Christian. After all, we're born of the Holy Spirit, and He is the sanctifier. And in every truly born-again believer, there is now a desire, a passion to be pure and godlike. Now, we're not all at the same degrees. There are some giants of the faith that are godly men and women. There are some that have done well and stumbled and fallen back and got up on their feet, and they're struggling and going on. And there's others just beginning, and there's things that they haven't even yet considered that are grievous to God. There are different steps along the way. But every Christian prays against the world and prays for greater holiness for God. So we've got to define worldliness. We've got to preach against it. It starts in the pulpit. This is the responsibility of the New Testament preacher. And if it's not preached in the pulpit, it will never rise in the pew. And if the preacher does not hate sin and warn against sin, it's going to be a comfortable pew. It's going to invite the world to take their seat and be at ease. You pray that these pews never become comfortable for wicked sinners, that they will repent, they will be convicted, be converted, and be given the spirit of holiness. That's the miracle we're praying for. Then we pray against holiness. If I was looking for a church, and I get this question asked of me, you know, can you recommend a church? I would insist in checking out the prayer meeting. And I believe I could tell very quickly the heartbeat of the ministry, the burden of the people, and the direction of the church from the tenor of the prayers. If there is a praying, Lord, smash the power of the world, that's the right direction. But if people say, don't offend your brothers and sisters here, they might be struggling, don't pray against sin. No. And so there are telltale signs in the life of the church. And then witness against worldliness. It's got to be our advertisement. Yes, we are called to preach the good news of the gospel. But the good news is that there's victory over sin. And we've got to be able to point out the dangers, the allurements of sin to men and women, boys and girls. And that goes from our Sunday school class. What if? Just bring it right down to the practical terms. A parent came to the eldership of our church and said, we don't want that Sunday school teacher teaching because she or he is telling my children about sin and worldliness, and I want that to stop, or that teacher changed. What would the eldership of that church do? Well, out of courtesy and understanding both sides of the story, and there's always two sides to the story, you would talk to the teacher and say, well, we've got this issue. Is this, you know, are you being, you know, general, or are you being particular, or are you on a hobby horse here? And you say, well, I was teaching the passage. It's Numbers, what's that text? 23:32 or 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. What else can a Sunday school teacher do? Be sure your sin will find you out. And if families get upset at that, we would have to say, parents, you need to pray for the spirit of repentance and for your children. Then the church should plan to help people overcome the world. We're not just pointing out errors and wrong. We must come alongside and strengthen people who are struggling. There are addictions and grip and habits of the world that could take a man or a woman months and years to overcome. And we must not just hit them over the head and say, you're nobody, because you can't stop that habit. We've got to be willing to work with them, pray with them, weep when they tell us they've been defeated again, and encourage with joy when they say, I've been off it now for 6 months, it's going well, but I'm still afraid that I might lapse into something. And they share their heart, and we've got to be there to help and encourage them through. That is the ministry of the church, the pastor, the elders, the people that are against worldliness, but are seeking to minister to people fighting the battle in their own lives. And if we don't get into the trenches of helping people over the world and its vices, are we really engaged in real ministry? It'd be easy to turn the pulpit into some kind of a pedestal, a fortress, and just preach the big bad world out there. But this is where we must reach people where they're at and bring them to faith in the Lord. Now, lastly, in closing, we must go on here, and that is to apply the remedy. The remedy is repent. And I suppose the first one is repent of bad company. And I'm thinking of these hippie-style marijuana smokers that have come into the midst of the church. We've got to repent of bad company. There was a farmer who, when he planted his corn and the crop was just sprouting, the crows were there. And they were digging up the corn. And he decided that he would get his gun and scare them off. And while he was going out with his gun in hand, his parrot flew ahead of him and joined with the crows. And when the farmer got there and saw those crows, he went bang, bang. And he not only shot a few crows, but he injured the parrot. And when he was carrying the injured parrot back into the farmhouse again, the kid said, "What did it, Daddy? What did it?" And his answer was, bad company, bad company. And very often in young people, older people too, it's bad company that brings them down to lose their testimony for God. And so be a separatist. Be unashamed to say, I believe in being separate from the world. Let that be your motto. And let that be the burden of your heart. Then verse 17, not only repent, but listen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And of course, this is the gift of faith, an ear to hear. And if we're listening to the book, we will get victory over sin. I would say the majority of times when you neglect the book, and the Lord's not speaking to your heart, temptation is stronger and stronger and may well defeat you. A newly saved lady said, there's only one letter between me and you. She was speaking to a worldly man. And that is, you love the world and I love the Word. Just one letter. That's all it is. You love the Word or you love the world. And this book will kill sin in your life and the desire of sin in your life. Also in verse 17, we are to seek the hidden manna. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Now you'll notice that the hidden manna is only given to overcomers. And this hidden manna is feeding your inner man with the spiritual best of the wheat. And when you live godly, you are given blessings that the worldly man will never experience. Psalm 4 verse 3 says, "Know ye not that God hath set apart him that is godly for himself?" That's a little secret. The godly man or woman will be given the hidden manna, the spiritual food that will nourish and delight the soul. And then also the remedy is a white stone. I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name. This is the picture of the Greek or the Roman courtroom. And when the jury gathered together to decide on their verdict, they were given a little bag and two stones, a white and a black. And of course, the name of the defendant would be on those stones. And when the jury deliberated and come up with their verdict, they would put the stone into the bag, give it to the judge. And when the judge put in his hand and brought out that stone, it was either condemnation or justification. Now, you get a white stone, that's everything. And when you have the righteousness, the justifying work of Christ to your account, that changes everything. Justified freely from all things. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So how can you keep the world out? Keep the Lord in your heart at all times. We know of Daniel that he prayed three times a day. Why? What a battle he was in. What pressure was upon him. He found his strength on his knees, waiting on God. And so this church at Pergamos, in a very difficult place where Satan's seat dwelt, under tremendous pressure, but were given remedies, repent or else. And there was a future for them and a work to do. And I trust that God will make us a church that is fit for his service and for his glorious name.
Well, thank you for joining with us through the program, and it is a privilege always to bring the message of God's Word, and I trust that it comes home with some application to your own life and to your own soul. I wonder, do these questions apply to you? Are you a separatist? Are you living for the Word, or are you living for the world? These are very apt questions, and they need to be answered, because it is the difference between heaven and hell. It is the difference between life and death. It's the difference between fellowship with God and living under the wrath of God. And here in the book of Revelation, this message to the church at Pergamos, God spoke very clearly. And I think the best thing we could do at this point is to read that letter which the Lord gave to the church. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what he saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it." Well, I trust that today that the Lord will write these words on your heart. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I want to invite you along to our church services on Sunday, 10:30 and 6 p.m. here at our church, the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, just 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway. And, of course, we come to worship the Lord, to preach His Word. We are still preaching in the book of Revelation, and we are continuing on in the later chapters now. But we invite you along with your family to worship, to hear God's Word. And I trust that there will be a blessing in store for you. Now take down the announcements, and may the Lord be with you until we let the Bible speak again. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.